So we are joined today by Lauren Weeks, the champion of fitness, the winner of the High Rocks Elite 12 event that has just happened in Germany just before the festive break and aired on the 1st of January. Lauren, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you guys?
Excellent, thank
you. She's doing all right now. She's got on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. I said I wasn't going to mention it, but I mentioned it. Sorry.
That's okay. I had a little bit of trouble, and by a little bit, a lot.
We got there in the end. That's all that matters.
We got there.
So, Lauren, we want to chat to you, obviously, about the Elite 12 event. I've watched the airing on YouTube. Jack's watched it. I'm sure a lot of people now have tuned in and watched the event. Tell us a little bit, before we delve into the event, because obviously it was an amazing race to watch. How was the build-up to the event? When did you know you were going to the event? And when did you get out there to Germany?
I think it's kind of been a long process in the making, and I actually had no intention of going. So I think they qualify the top 20 per gender to go, and it was supposed to be in March. I don't remember where the original location was. I don't think it was Hamburg, but I looked into flights and like hotel and all that. It was just like way too expensive, so I wasn't going to go. And then they canceled it or postponed it. And then they were going to have it in Amsterdam, I think, in October. They sent me another invitation, and I again had to say that I wasn't going to go because it was still like way too expensive. Mm-hmm. Then they ended up having to cancel that one too. And then I heard like they were going to do it again. This time they're going to bring it back into Germany. And I was like, well, I'm still not going to do it because it was just too much. It was too much for me to afford in terms of it, like being not necessarily a vacation. I would just be going to compete. And I think I would have been like really worried and not being able to explore the country I was in, which I would want to do if I'm spending all that time and money to get there. But then they sent an email saying they were going to do just the top five top five times total, and they were going to bring in a wild card. And I like skimmed in there with like one of the last times that was like a qualifying time. Mm-hmm. And they said they were going to pay for like our planes and our hotels and everything when we got over there. And I was like, all right, I'm in. Like that was,
let's go.
That was the big thing holding me back is just like, it was just way more than I was comfortable spending. So when they said they were going to cover it, since it was such a small field, I was like, absolutely, I'll be there.
It's nice to hear that top athletes also struggle with money issues, Luke, not just as semi-pros.
True. But that's one of the nice things about traveling for different events is exploring the country, kind of taking in the sights, seeing new things, maybe checking out the local culture. I definitely know I've done that when I've traveled to America, when I've traveled to Scandinavia, into Europe to race. So, yeah, having that taken away, obviously, with the current global situation doesn't make it inviting. Especially
so,
when
I had no intention of like extending the trip because I mean, we're not really allowed to explore when everything's shut down. So it would be a different story if I could make an actual trip out of it. But knowing that I was just going there for one competition was more than I was comfortable spending.
Mm-hmm. Lauren, have you been to Europe before?
No, that was my first time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hello, bye.
Yeah, it was real quick. But I did have the opportunity to see a lot of Hamburg just by foot. I went like on some walks and some runs to check out the city.
And what did you think? Just your very first impressions, what did you think to Hamburg and Europe and Germany?
It was beautiful. I had no idea how many like canals and waterways there were and how many bridges. Mm. And there were no Christmas markets that I had been told about because I went asking about them. I think everything's closed right now, but they still decorated. So everything's lit up. They have Christmas trees everywhere. They have lights just hanging down all their main shopping streets. So yeah. Beautiful.
I don't mean to rub it in, but like in English, like if you get told to go to a Christmas market, Germany is the place to go. It is amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, I heard so much buildup about it. So I, like, as soon as I land, I started asking, and we don't have that this year.
Especially if you like your food, because like a lot of the food halls and food markets are there. So you just end up like going from one end of the supermarket to the other end, and you end up just like full and just, you know, pretzels and chocolates. And
eating your way along the aisle.
Frankfurts and Bratwurst and basically. Anyway, back to sport.
No, you're bad.
So when did you get to Germany? How many days before the event?
It was a long travel. It was probably 20-ish hours of traveling, maybe a little bit more. We had some delays. I landed Wednesday afternoon, and the event was Saturday evening. So I was there quite a few days ahead of time.
Yeah, that's not too bad, but still, that's a lot of traveling to like get your body ready. How did you feel after the travel? Did you have any repercussions, any like jet lag or anything, or were you pretty much fine?
So that was like the longest travel I've ever had. So I don't know if I understand jet lag properly. I wouldn't say that I had any trouble falling asleep, because I don't sleep well traveling. So as soon as it was bedtime where I landed, I was ready for bed, because I had been up all day. So I didn't have any trouble adjusting to their time, at least.
Where did you fly from, Lauren? Where's your home? Where's home for you?
Right now I live in Las Vegas, but this is my home for another 2 weeks, and then I'm moving.
You're moving? Where are you moving to? Somewhere nice in America, or?
Salt Lake City.
Oh, okay. Again, that means nothing, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it'll be a little bit cold when I get there.
Yeah, Salt Lake City.
So delving into the event then, obviously you had those few days to prepare. We've watched some of the clips and stuff, and you did a few little bits at gyms and stuff. You've done, how many HYROX events did you do before this one?
Three actual HYROX events. So they had like some virtual things, which are definitely not the same as their real events. So I did three.
Okay, that's cool. So you were pretty well prepped for how the 8 workout stations and the 8K of running was going to be. How did you find the treadmills? Because that was a big change from the original like HYROX setup. You generally run around the outside. So, I did one in Hanover, so it's different.
Yeah, we got an email ahead of time saying that we were going to be on a curved like treadmill. Originally, it was going to be something different than an assault runner. And honestly, I was really disappointed when I saw that, because I would much rather be running on flat ground. The treadmill is more taxing, so where I could normally try and rely on that run to like still try and push the pace, but it's more of a, that's more of a break, where the stations like are really hard for me. Being on the treadmill, I have to work the whole time, because it's really like, it engages your posterior chain a lot. I'm not a small athlete by any means, but I was smaller than the other girls there, and it definitely caters to a larger athlete. Like the bigger you are, the easier it is to move usually. So I was not super happy we were going to be on the treadmill. But the original one we were going to be on, the computers weren't working, so they put us on the assault runner. And I was very grateful for that, because that one's as hard as the assault runner is. We got to try the other one the day before, and that one was like 10 times harder.
Yeah. I heard they had to reach out to a few local gyms and get those assault runners at last minute.
Yeah, day of the event. They had to get rid of what they had, and they brought in some assault runners.
If you're watching the YouTube of the actual event, some of the camera angles go behind the assault runners, and you see on the back of them, it has tape where it's holding the battery in. Because they've come from local gyms, they've been keeping them in.
Yeah, just making sure. Yeah. So they weren't there like a couple of days ahead of time. Like they had the original models, and they had to scrap them last minute, which I was thrilled. So.
Well, I have to say, Lauren, I mean, I obviously watched yourself, and don't take this the wrong way, I was so watching the other two girls mostly all the way through it, thinking, oh, Lauren's there, you know, like obviously you had a good showing at Spartan Games. So in my head, I was thinking Lauren Weeks is there, you know, but I never really saw you as a contender. And slowly, crikey, did you just keep going back on that treadmill, and like you were somehow, I don't know how, but you would just get closer and closer and closer until it was like, hold on, Has Lauren Weeks like got off the treble early? She's just like destroyed everyone. I'm like, I don't know which particular lap it was. I think it was like your seventh one, and you just got off before anybody even started. It was like, oh Christ, okay, Lauren's just taking it up a notch. So
I mean, I don't blame you at all that for that. I mean, I knew who I was competing against. Like, I didn't think I was a contender either. So I don't take any offense to that.
Do you think that helps you?
Not thinking I was. I think yeah. I just like I know what I'm capable of, and I know what I think that the other girls are capable of. And like some of us are going to have a good day, and some of us might not have our best day. And I think like we could go into the race again, and somebody else could come out on top. So yeah. I think like everybody's pretty close, and you could see that from like the first to last place. Like it wasn't really a big time gap.
No. And there's obviously the one athlete that struggled, wasn't there, with shin splints that had to pull out in the first like second, which is a real shame. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't, because I was on like one of the further treadmills from her, I didn't even realize until like halfway through the race. And then I noticed on like one of the stations, I'm like, wait a second, we lost somebody.
I've got to fifth.
I might get to podium. It's like 1 out of 4 chance right now.
That's the competitive side of you, Lauren.
But obviously, in the US, in one of those three races you did the Dallas race, and you posted the 8th fastest high rocks time ever and the fastest time by a non-German athlete. So maybe obviously Jack said you weren't like one of the top ones, but you were obviously in and around those top people. When did you kind of know in the race, like, if I put the hammer down, I'm going to go for this podium spot, or I'm going to get in the first spot? When did it kind of switch in for you? Was it right at the end, in the middle? What kind of happened?
For the championship one?
Yeah, for the championship. When did it kind of click?
So if you look at Dallas, I had like a lead the whole time, and I was comfortable in that first spot, but that's the only one of the three previous that I was in that position. The other two, in the first half of the race, I'm always behind, and I've always somehow been able to like chip away and catch up. So like the back half of the race for me is better. Like I really struggle in the first half. So I know that going in that I'm probably not going to be in a good spot for that first half of the race. But like if I don't give up, the second half is usually better for me. So I can kind of make up some ground, and depending on like how well everybody else does on the second half of the race depends on how much ground I'll make up. So I don't know how good they are, so there's no reason for me to give up in case I can overtake some of those spots.
And Lauren, is that because you're physically not warm, or is it more to do with how High Rocks have set up the system, so it's depending on what exercise you've got coming up? What doesn't suit you in that first half? Is it the fact you're not ready, or is it more because it's the heavy stuff?
Is it the sleds?
Sleds, yeah.
Two things. One, I really struggle with the sleds, and I train them, and I come from a CrossFit background. So I would say that I'm a fairly strong athlete when it comes to runners, but, they're still tough and they still gas me. And I know personally that if I try and like push it until I can't push it anymore, then my legs don't work. So I know I have to break it sooner so that I can run faster later. And then the other piece to it is I'm just not a sprint athlete. So if we're anywhere under a half hour, like the race isn't gonna suit to me. It's the longer it goes, like that hour time frame is pretty good.
Nice.
I suppose that's still us. I still call that as a sprint, but I suppose as a CrossFit athlete,
endurance event.
So, Lauren, can you tell us why you're wearing golf gloves? Obviously, they weren't golf gloves, but that's what my wife said. So, I'm gonna go with that. Why were you wearing gloves? What was the process behind that?
Because I'm a big baby. So I think they're football receiver gloves. And I was wearing them because the rope on the sled pole hurts my hands.
Oh, okay. That's you're really the softest athlete I've ever met.
It hurts. But I'm like thinking about it, like so I've run 4 races and I've worn them twice. So 2, I didn't wear them, and 2, I did. The problem with the gloves, in case anybody's thinking about wearing them, I haven't decided if I'm going to keep doing it, is it definitely raises my body temperature a lot higher than I want it to get. So I haven't decided if it's worth
Maybe you should cut the fingers out of the gloves.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Thank you. Here all day. Thank you.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, cut the fingers out of the gloves.
I take them off as soon as the sled pull is done because
that's what I noticed.
I really want it for. But I the rope hurts my hands, so I wanted gloves.
Yeah. I wonder if the gloves would help you on the kettlebell farmer's carry. I wonder if they'd help you with grip there, or is that worse for you?
Well, you get chore.
I don't. The grip isn't really a problem. I'm just I'm like super fatigued when I have to put it down because I'm tired, not because I'm losing grip.
Oh, okay.
I don't, for me, it wouldn't make a difference. Yeah.
Okay.
So when it came around to the event, obviously when you got to like that seventh round on the runner and into kind of like the last exercise zone, which is the 100 wall balls, which is brutal. was it, what did you do for the wall balls? Was it just a case of like completely switching your mind off and cranking out as many as you could? Obviously, you didn't go unbroken. You kind of stopped a little bit a few times.
You were 10 ahead, weren't you, of the... And Luke, remind me of the girl's name.
Overlander.
So you were about 10 ahead, I think, when you very first got on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were... I don't know how many reps, but we were pretty close.
Yeah.
I knew I had started before her, so honestly, the only thing I was thinking was, okay, don't break until she breaks. Once she breaks... then you can take your break. But if you break before that, you're risking now this lead that you just took. So I was not going to be able to pull Sam and be able and do 100 unbroken. That just wasn't in the cards for me. But my thought process was, all right, just keep going and don't let yourself break until she breaks. And if you pick it up before she picks it up, you're still ahead.
I like the fact they had the iPad and they were clicking with the numbers on. It was good for us.
I had no idea they were doing that until I watched the boys race.
Did you watch that?
I didn't know. No, I didn't. I didn't know they were doing it for us. And then I saw the boys and I asked next to us, I was like, did they do it for us when we were going? And I said, yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Imagine, though, in that situation, you've got your own thing going on. You generally don't take in anything. Like if I was to say to you right now, how many people are in that room? You probably couldn't tell me, you know, what color was the ceiling? You probably couldn't tell me, you know, you're just so many things are going on. You just go into your own little moment. Like you say, you had your own little battle with yourself, you know, with things like overheating, gloves, treadmills, that's all going on in your head. And at the same time, you're in a race at the end of the day. And, you know, of course you're not going to notice some guy with an iPad clicking you. Did you get no reps, Lauren, or did you have clean run?
No, I had lots of no reps, actually. Some were definitely for good reason. Like your wall ball has to hit the target on the way up. If it goes above it and then hits on the way down, it doesn't count. So I had a couple of those. And then
too strong.
I don't think that was it. And then some I noticed that if I was tired and I wanted a break, so it only showed me breaking once, but I definitely broke more than that. If I hit the target and I wanted to break, but I just let the ball drop and I didn't catch it first, I got a no rep. So I don't know if that's part of Hyrox's rules or if that was just my judge's rules. So after I realized that I was getting, no rep for, even though it hit the target at the right spot, if I didn't catch it before it hit the ground, I stopped doing that. Like I would catch it if I wanted to take a break and then place it down and then the rep would count. I noticed.
I suppose that eccentric movement is still a part of the action, I suppose, isn't it? Of catching the ball. I suppose
In CrossFit it's not. So I didn't know that. But once I realized I was getting no rep, I stopped doing that.
So actually you could have beaten it by minutes, it would have been fine.
Probably not. But I would have had a couple more reps in my favor. But yeah, and I did get no rep a couple times.
Talking about somebody that did those wall balls unbroken, Sam Briggs, you mentioned that just before.
Monster.
Outrageous. But how was
She's
it rated?
The, She's the only female to have done that so far in the High Rocks history.
And the best bit is when she stopped and they interviewed her, literally stuck a microphone in her mouth straight away as soon as she finished. She was like, yeah, and? She was so blasé about it. Like, it's easy.
Like, I mean, she's just obviously a legend. Like, and I mean, she's been around the sport forever and we all know what she's capable of. Like, I watched her in the Rogue Invitational. Nobody tells her that everybody else is done with their snatches on that death by snatches, and she goes for like minutes longer than the rest of her competitors, just going casually. Yeah.
How did it feel going past? Oh, this sounds harsh, but when you walked past her to go, obviously get on your podium and you get your top position. How did it feel to go past like such a legend of like Sam Briggs? Going, you know what? I've actually finally, you know, beaten someone that I've aspired to be like and idolized for a few years, you know, because they mentioned that on the commentary that, you know, you've been watching her and stuff, and obviously within CrossFit she's a big name, you know, but how did that feel like actually going up and going, yeah, I'm the champ?
I don't even think that was something I was thinking about, but she is right. Somebody I have, I mean, she's been my favorite CrossFitter just because she is known as the engine, and I enjoy CrossFit. I would like to be able to continue competing in it. I'm not the strongest or even close to like one of the strongest ones out there. And she kind of gives a little bit of hope because she also is still somehow able to like crack in there, even though like her strength numbers are not quite what you see some of the other competitors' numbers being at. And, I mean, she was so nice the whole way through. Like we were on the treadmill she was like next to me in it, and we were on it for like the last run. And she was like, and she realized that I was getting close to passing the girl on my right, and she was encouraging, like, hey, you got this, like, go for it.
Mm. So. I'll tell you what she has got. She's got some British in her. That's what she's got. She's got some British Northern grit, so we call that.
She certainly does. But, like, I mean, we're all dying in this race, and she's still, like, encouraging me to, like, make it to that finish line.
No, that's good.
So, I mean, Luke, I was going to say, coming away from High Rocks, one thing that's amazed me about, especially yourself and Sam, is like watching you guys in the Spartan Games, how well you have just adapted to anything that people throw at you. Like, for instance, I do like CrossFit, but I couldn't imagine doing very well at a CrossFit because I just write myself out. Whereas you guys were made to do like mountain biking, you know, running, you know, all of a sudden you're supposed to be these amazing runners, and it's like, well, hold on, I've not run more than, you know, when we interviewed Sam Briggs the other week, she'd not run more than like an hour for 10 years, you know, right. And then she's doing a 30 mile ultra. That blows my mind, and it just shows me how great you guys are as athletes, because you, and especially you, Lauren, you seem to have that the mindset that whatever someone gives you, whether it be a challenge, or you will just go at it at 100%, not silly, but you'll go at it with all you can and achieve as much you can out of it. That it just crazy blows my mind. That is, you know,
I mean, like part of that is perspective. Like that whole weekend was one, probably the hardest thing I've ever done, but two, like the most fun thing I've ever done in my entire life. Like it was a blast. It was so hard, but it like every step of the way was just fun.
So you do it again?
Oh yeah. I hope they do it again. And I hope I'm lucky enough to go again.
And one thing surprised you the most, like surprised yourself? What I said this to Sam, and I was amazed by her answer. So before I give you her answer, what would you think you sort of came away and went, do you know what? I actually really enjoyed that and I'll do more of it.
Well, I don't even know if I was necessarily surprised. So I was like looking forward to that long run before the weekend even started. They didn't tell us what it was going to be. They just said we were going to be running for a long time. I was like, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Normally I have to like run by myself. I get to go with like 24 other people into the woods with all these different colors. Like I was super excited about it. But in terms of being surprised, I know a lot of people, this is not the answer you're looking for. I know a lot of people were not looking forward to the wrestling, and at the end they were surprised that they enjoyed it so much. I was not one of those people. I was not looking forward to it, and I didn't like it either.
Is that because you're just too like more of a hug person? You know, you'd hug it out rather than fight it out.
I just, well, I mean, I would like to think so, but I just don't think I have like that. I don't know. It's not that I'm not competitive, but I'm not very aggressive. I don't like the fighting sports personally. I learned that like the only reason I got any points in that wrestling event was because I outweighed the girls that I won against by probably like 30 pounds. So I did learn that I should probably learn how to do some self-defense because I was really bad at it.
Yes, I could be.
Yeah, so I learned that for sure. I was really bad at it.
You could just run away from him now, Lauren. It's fine.
I could. And the two matches I lost, I was definitely going to lose, but I also ended them early. I shook the girls' hands. I was like, okay, I'm done.
And who of all those people that are there were you amazed by? Like, who did you go, do you know what? That's a genuine... Because, like, for instance, obviously, being in OCR, Lindsay Webster, Ryan Atkins, those people. I mean, I say Hunter, we all know what Hunter can do. We all know he's an absolute beast within the CrossFit realms as well. But, like, someone like Lindsay, I was like, do you know what? As much as Lindsay can run and do the Spartan Cross, I can't see her even competing in the wrestling, the heavy, the deca heavy, the deca fit, you know, this mount, you know, but amazing. Somehow she still managed to win it. You know, like, was there any particular you a person you were like amazed with
so
or surprised you?
This isn't meant to be a cheesy answer. Like, it's hard to go in there and then come out without being amazed by everybody because we, mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't necessarily have a specialty, but like most of the athletes going in there have a specialty and you know they're going to be good at that. And then there's going to be these things that are way out of their element. And there wasn't a single person there that didn't like still perform when they were doing something out of their element. Like everybody still pushed, everybody still tried. Like you look at Mike Wardian, who's like doing everything he can to still like in that first cross, he's trying to get the Hercoist up. He's still trying to do all the 225 pound deadlifts. Like nobody gave up ever. No. So, I mean, like there wasn't somebody there that you couldn't just look at and be in awe of, whether they were good at it or whether they just had to fight to do it.
To be fair, that came across on the old documentary quite well, you know, like, okay, you had the bit of controversy there that no one really liked about the whole Aaron and Hunter thing. But once we got past that and actually got into, you know, delving in a little bit more, like you say, the other athletes that someone necessarily wouldn't know, you know, it's amazing really how far some of them actually went.
And I think like the episodes and the chatter about it after made the whole Aaron and Hunter thing like bigger than it actually was. Like, yeah, I mean, I was at the event and like, I didn't even know any of that happened. Like it wasn't a thing. Like I didn't realize that there was tension or if there was tension and there probably was, I'm sure they actually don't like each other, but that was not like, that didn't come across. So
No, I think it's opposite. I think they're friends and I think they just thought they were going to make something of it, you know,
well, for TV.
It's all about
that
TV.
That might be a little bit of an exaggeration. I don't know if they're friends, but they didn't make like a big thing about it. Like it wasn't like this weekend where Hunter and Aaron were going at, like, that's just not what it was.
Let's be fair. Aaron would get his head torn off. What it is, to be fair.
Well, Hunter does outweigh him by a lot.
A long way.
Double what Aaron weighs. So,
but I'm pretty sure Aaron can outrun him. I think. Maybe
a long distance.
Not in short.
I'm gonna get a message from Aaron now. Like, why are you talking shit about me?
No, I'm trying to back you up.
So, from the Spartan Games, what other than the trail run, what was your favorite kind of event that you did there at the games?
That one was definitely my favorite just because it's something I hadn't ever done and I'll give another answer, but it was something I hadn't ever done and I did like 10 times better than I thought I would have.
Lauren, how far would you normally go on a run? Just give the guys that listen, like, what's your general run distance?
So it's increased over the past year. I would say like a year ago, like I would normally go on like a 3 to 4 mile run. But like focusing on high rocks, like I've slowly progressed that. So then it went from like 4 to 5 and then like I would do like most days of 5 and then I'd throw in a 7 and like now I'm kind of out where like I throw like a lot of my runs are around 7-ish miles. Yeah.
So just to put that into perspective, how far did you go on the trail run in the Spartan one?
They said 30 miles. So I think that it was probably a little bit shorter than that. I don't think it was a full 5 mile course.
Either way, that's still three times as much as you've ever done before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, a lot further.
That's a lot. I'm not going to take it away from Karen. That's a lot.
That's good. A lot of people would be daunted by 30 miles. So that was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Especially on that terrain as well. We're not talking like British.
Right,
you
but
know,
if you think about the terrain, like the not being on flatland was way more entertaining. Like I was going at different speeds. Like I would have to slow down going up and then I could go like as fast as I wanted on the flats. And I actually had to slow down on the downs because I don't really know how to run downhill. But so my fastest was probably the flat.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What made me laugh is your when they did the weight vest, the climb on the weight vest and you finished. You were just like smiling. You were like, is it done? Are we finished?
It was so hard. It was so cool. I like almost want to ask Joe if I can move in with them for a month just so I can like
he would
he would do it for the free labor. He would let you.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to move some boulders or something.
I mean, that's my training, right? That's fine.
Yeah, true, yeah. True. burpees for breakfast.
So Lauren, coming from like a CrossFit background, obviously you've competed at regionals before on a team and individually, how has that prepared you for like say the HYROX event? Obviously, HYROX is pretty new. It's only just come around in the last few years. You've excelled at it. You've become the champion of fitness. How did kind of CrossFit give you that base for HYROX? What was like a good thing?
Well, besides like the physical base that it's given, obviously it's given me a lot of strength. It's also given me a lot of humility. So I've always had a pretty good like aerobic background, which allows me to do well in the open, which lets me get into like I qualified for regionals like a couple years in a row. But like that's kind of where it ends. So once I qualify, I get to go and do this really cool competition at regionals, but I'm not nearly as prepared for that type of competition because it's different from the open. Now all of a sudden there's tons of gymnastics and like everything is super heavy. So I go in with a really good standing because everything else was like aerobic base. And all of a sudden, like now it's out of my element. So I go to regionals and I just get smashed like every single time. Just cause they're like, I'm not super strong. Like I'm not great at gymnastics. Like the things I'm good at are in the open, which is what allows me to qualify. And then, so I've gained a lot of humility out of it. And it's always in front of like a crowd of thousands of people. So I go there and I do my best and I usually don't perform super well, but it's just something I've kind of gotten used to. Like I know I can go in, I can do everything that I can, or at least to like perform the best I can. And it's usually not going to compare to some other people and that's okay.
Yeah, but what a great experience to have been to those regional competitions. Do you think that experience of competition at that level has helped you in HYROX and other kind of athletic ventures you've done?
Definitely. So like when I go like to the regional competitions, like there's all different types of events. I can practice like working my like engine in different types of like physical activity. So like obviously HYROX has 8 different stations. So I've been able to learn kind of where my body can push and where I need to back off. And if I push too much here, like maybe I'll gain some ground, but I'll end up losing too much by the end of the race. So it's helped put things into perspective.
What would be your dream HYROX setup now? Or if we were to have the Lauren Weeks fitness test, what would be your dream like put together competition now, Lauren? All about you. What things would you have? What moves? Where would you go? What would you class yourself?
So I love the idea of like the 1,000-meter runs. I think that's awesome. I think 5 miles is a pretty good distance for me. I would like to see a little bit more like technique things in there. So if we could throw in some barbells, I think that would really benefit me. And then even some upper body pulling. So like where you have to do pull-ups or chest bars or something like that. Like I would love to see what's already there and then just add a little bit extra. So like the more things you put in and like making it so that people have to be able to be good at more, I think benefits me because I'm not great at any one particular thing, but like I can like get by and I'm pretty decent at a lot of things. So if the more stuff you put in, the better for me.
Yeah. You're an all rounder. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Are you going to take part in the Open this year?
I am still deciding. I do want to, but I also want to do some of these live events as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely going to go to the High Rocks in Dallas. And I don't really have a resume to technically be allowed in the elite heat at some of these Spartan races, but I'm going to try and like put it up.
What?
Yeah.
You have to have
like a resume, like you have to have done so well in certain Spartan races to be able to be in their elite heat for the gated ones. And I don't.
You just get the phone, you text Joe, and you say, Joe,
I'm coming down.
I'm coming.
So you can apply though. So like they have these applications. So I
thought an Spartan game, champion of fitness. Let me in.
High Rocks champion. Maybe not go with the High Rocks thing. That's not a good clever idea.
Yeah, I think I might have to leave that one out. But I'm gonna
just talk to Yancy. Yancy will sort everything.
I'm definitely going to ask Yancy for help, but they have like the Jacksonville race, the same weekend the Open starts, and it's a sprint, which as I said, like, I don't think sprints are really in my wheelhouse. I think I need a little bit like a longer distance to do well, but, the more I practice, I think the better. Yeah. I think a super would better fit me. But I want to do it anyway. So, I'm going to try and get into that Jacksonville race. And if I'm in Florida the whole weekend, like, that's the weekend the Open starts. If I can get into a gym to do the Open, great. I'm going to sign up and do it. And if I can't, that's okay.
Well, you've got the two options, the body weight, and they've got the equipment one. So maybe you can do the body weight one. You do it anywhere.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't realize that until like a couple days ago. Yeah. And I think I don't even need anything. Right.
Yeah. That is right, isn't it? You can do the body weight one. Yeah. So you've done Spartan before, haven't you, Lauren? Though
one
as in one race,
one race, yeah.
Which was that there, stadion?
It was a stadium in San Francisco in 2000.
Yeah. And how did that race go? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I did not like the thick jump rope thing with the thing tying my ankles together. I did. Like I was the last one leaving that station, and I noticed that they have like different heats. So I tried to sign up for the elite wave, but I guess they break that up, and I wasn't allowed to go in the first wave with everybody else. And this is all just excuses, but like in the stadium, like once you're behind people, you have to like kind of jump seats in order to like pass people. It's really hard to pass. So. I don't know if I love the stadiums for that reason. Like I'd rather have some like open field to be able to pass people and not, cause I'm not really a risk taker. I don't really want to jump over some seats to get past somebody.
She's a hugger.
Yeah, I'm a hugger.
But yeah, no, definitely. Stadion is heart in the mouth stuff though, isn't it? It's like literally thresholding the whole way around.
Which is cool. I really like that. But I don't know. I don't like the one lane piece. I'm going to sign up for one anyway. I'm going to do them all anyway. But I think even though I've never done like a terrain sort of Spartan race where you're out on the grass, I think I would like that better.
So Florida is quite flat, isn't it? Jacksonville. It's a reasonably flat, open, quite a fast course.
That would be good.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
Suits you.
A bit better.
Yeah.
But there's one OCR / CrossFit style race you did before, TMX.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Tough Mudder has been saved by Spartan. Would you like to see them bring back TMX?
I think if they brought that back, that would be my favorite race that I would get to do. I didn't know what I was getting into when I jumped into that race. Like, I had absolutely no idea.
Do you research any race?
I mean, like, actually, Yancy is the one who got me into that TMX race. Like, I didn't even have to do any of the qualifiers. Like, he just got me into the championship, and I had no idea. Yeah, I had no idea what it was, and I got there, and they have, like, three different waves of it. So you do one wave and then you have to make top 20, and then you do like the second wave, so the semifinals, and you have to make top 10. And then if you make top 10, you get to go and race in the finals. And it's the same course the whole time. But I definitely do better with experience. I think I had like that 20th place time in the first one because I failed two things. And then by the time I like got to the second one, I think I was in, I made it to fourth that time because I didn't fail anything. And then I made it into like the last seat and ended fourth as well. But I loved it. Like they had chest to bars, they had rope climbs, they had heavy sandbags, they had run. Like if they could bring something back, that would, I think, by far be my favorite race to get to do. I just, I didn't know what opportunity was in front of me while I was doing it.
No, you, you need to get yourself to England because English Spartans are just literally heavy, flat, quick courses that I think you'd enjoy.
Oh, that sounds fun. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Great. A lot of heavy Americans.
Are you guys open right now? Is it is everything locked down?
We're just about to go to a very strict lockdown.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. so not this season.
Not now. Yeah, not this season. I don't know. We might be open by next in June, July, maybe. But we're still
next year then. And like,
are those other companies or are those the Spartan races?
Everything. I mean, Spartan obviously said no from day one, but nearly every race is as the ones that have gone ahead have been like trail runs and runs, but no specific OCR, especially someone like Spartan, because like you're getting 6,000 to 7,000 people. So there's no way that amount of people are going to be able to come together in a weekend, you know.
Obviously looking at this year for you, Lauren, 2021, I know it's hard to say kind of what races and stuff you're going to be doing, but is there anything on the horizon that you've pinpointed later on the year that you're looking ahead to doing? Obviously Higher Rocks, you said a few Spartans, maybe the Open, but is there anything else on the calendar?
Ultra.
So I actually would kind of like to try a Spartan Ultra. Yeah.
I knew that was coming.
I want to try all the distances because I don't know which one I'm going to like the best. So I want to try the sprint. I want to try the super. I want to try a beast. I want to try an ultra. I would love to be able to qualify for the, like the toughest mutter. That'll be in November, I think. Which means I have to, I was looking into how to qualify, which means I have to do a tougher mutter first. And I think there's only three I can pick from. So I'm going to look into which one of those three I'd have to do to qualify for it.
You've got to do one of the 12-hour races to qualify for the 24-hour World's Toughest Mudder. So, yeah, but if it's more of an endurance thing, you might be good towards you. You'll enjoy that because those are difficult. I've done it twice in the UK, and it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, I think, like, for me, the hardest part is going to be, like, staying warm from like, everybody's experiences that I've heard. Sounds like you get pretty cold.
Get a swim run wetsuit for sure.
Swim run wetsuit, definitely. Because that, what's the...
And your sexy white gloves.
Yes.
My white gloves. Well, I think I'm going to get new ones I can cut finger holes out of.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
If you do that, that would be brilliant if you do that. And maybe you like when you win, you should do this as like a celebration.
Celebrate. Well, I'm going to take them off at the sled pole no matter what, but...
I just throw them in the crowd then. Do something cool with the gloves.
Do something cool. Yeah. And then I think that's like really, I'm trying to get back into school. So I'm currently in the process of applying. And if I get in, I start in a week. So that'll also be kind of taken away a little bit out of like some of the training time I'll have.
But, do you mind asking what you're going to study?
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say,
Yeah, so my bachelor's is in English, and I'm doing absolutely nothing with it. And I've been interested in nursing for a while, and I found a school that will not force me to retake any of my undergraduate credits, so I can go right in. So if my application process is done in time, I start next week.
Well, nice. Good luck.
Yeah,
yeah, good luck with that.
Thanks.
What amazes me, Lauren, is like I came on this podcast thinking Lauren Weeks, CrossFit athlete, but I think I'm going off this podcast thinking Lauren Weeks, not really sure what she is. So what would you call yourself, Lauren? Like if someone said to you now, what sport do you do? What would you actually class Lauren Weeks as? What is your thing?
So that, I mean, I've been asked that, like, even when we were at Spartan Games, like, they asked, like, okay, so what's your sport? I'm like, well, I mean, I don't really know. Like, I want to do all of it. So I haven't found it. I don't know.
You haven't found it. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you might be really good at doing, like, ping pong or badminton or something, you know?
I think you might have found it.
Badminton's really fun, but I'm not good at it. But I love playing it.
I think High Rocks might be the one, Lauren.
Yeah, but High Rocks is not a sport. It's functional fitness, isn't it? So I suppose you could say Lauren's pretty good at... Did I just upset someone?
I think you've upset a whole group of people.
But we're saying High Rocks is not a sport.
Yeah.
Right, that's me done then. I'll see you tomorrow.
I don't think you're getting any more of their interviews. Well, I love the idea of, like, combining running with fitness. So whatever people want to end up calling that sport, I would say I am that athlete. But I don't know if it has a name right now.
Here's what's really silly. I can actually see, like, a High Rocks, Decafit, functional fitness, whatever you want to call it, sport. I can actually see that in the Olympics before I could see OCR, because actually how we've seen Spartan Games documentary style, I mean, they did an amazing job with that, and how we've just watched the High Rocks 12, it's so much more watchable than watching someone run around a mountain for 12 hours. Although that's what we enjoy, and me and Luke very much enjoy doing it. I just think, like, that functional fitness, actually, if anything's going to make a sport and make it sort of Olympic standards, that will be...
Do you have to go to one of the High Rocks races?
Yeah.
Luke's done one.
Yeah, so it's in a center, and you can watch the whole race. So it is very spectator-friendly, like, in terms of becoming a spectator sport. Like, you can see the whole thing, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, here's a question for you then. So what? Here's a really interesting question away from everything, and I'm about to make this podcast daft. What makes a sport a sport, Lauren? To you, what makes a sport a sport?
I think just having people wanting to compete in it. Like, if it's an athletic endeavor.
So do you class snooker as a sport?
Could be.
What? Do I?
Yeah, I just realized I use a very British...
He means pool.
Pool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Billiards. Snooker. Is that a sport?
I mean, I think it has to be, right? What else would it be called?
Breakdancing? Is that a sport?
It's in the Olympics.
Yeah, God.
I know. I'm just throwing this out there now. I mean, I've got a thing, right? Okay. For me, a sport is anything you have to change your footwear for. That works, right?
That works, but I know people that CrossFit barefoot. What do you call them? Not.
Yeah, but they've changed their shoes, surely.
What if they always are barefoot?
Then they're very clever, because that's a good thing to do.
Advocate.
All right, we'll move away from Jack's staff question. Lauren, where can the listeners connect with you? Where can they find you on the social media platforms? Is it Instagram, YouTube? Where are you putting out the information for them to follow you in your adventures, which sound like there's going to be lots of adventures?
It's mostly Instagram. So it's Lauren _E_Weeks. At least that's what it is for right now. I do actually probably plan on changing it.
Ooh, what are you going to change it to?
Yeah. I have no idea. Any ideas? But I'm getting married. And I'm going to change my name, so I can't really leave that as my handle.
What's your partner's name? Surname?
Parisini.
Parisini. That's quite a cool name. Laura Parisini. Like it.
I would love to be able to just do my first name and my middle name, but it's too common and everybody else already has.
What's the middle name?
Lauren Elise.
It's cool.
So if anybody has any ideas, I would...
Right, we're going to throw this out there. We've done this before for Nicole. She never changed it. Do you remember?
Yeah. We'll put that out there on our Instagram story. And if anybody's got any recommendations for a new Instagram handle for Lauren Weeks, let us know.
It has to be clean.
And while we're putting things out there, we also want a decent glove sponsor, and Lauren also wants entry to Jacksonville, please, David Watson. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah, please. Yeah. I don't know how to get into that.
We have Dave Watson on the podcast very soon. We can switch out to Dave Watson. Do not worry.
Thank you. You can sweet talk for me.
Thank you very much, Lauren, for your time this evening, this morning where you are, and this evening where we are. Congratulations again on becoming the champion of fitness and winning the HYROX Elite 12 event. It was amazing to watch. We hope to see you do even better things in 2021.
100%.
Thank you very much. I'm going to try it all. So, I mean, hopefully I'll succeed at some, and I'm sure I'll fail at others, and it'll all even out.
I reckon we'll see Lauren on a few podiums in 2021. That's my prediction.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.